time in season.
Yeah.
How is the play?
Thank you.
job, Derek.
So?
Is there, oh, Derek.
No.
See, that's set up to print wires.
Thank you.
Good morning, Phil. Good morning, John.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I believe so this time. Thank you.
Morning, Jerry.
Thank you.
Good morning.
My name's Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. And I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. And today's message is about gratitude. I am gratefully and wonderfully blessed. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "I am grateful for what I am and have. My thanksgiving is perpetual. An attitude of thankfulness serves me well when I consider the many blessings for which I am grateful. In a quiet moment, I open mind and heart to experience the magnificence and magnitude of all that God is. I consciously know that I am grateful for divine presence in my life. Because of this, I give thanks in advance for the many possibilities and opportunities before me. Gratitude is the heart's response to life's infinite blessings. My gratitude expresses as peace, love, and joy. With anticipation and appreciation for future blessings, I affirm, I am gratefully and wonderfully blessed." And from the Bible, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's Psalm 139:14. And now, everybody, please remain seated while we sing "Sure the Presence." It's in the front of your hymnals. Joyce leads us in song. Together, it's located inside your program. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And now it's time for our welcoming song. If you all please stand while Joyce leads us in our welcoming song on page 148, and remain standing afterwards so we can greet each other. If you'd rather not be hugged, then stick your hand out. We shake hands too. Thank you.
Jim?
My friend.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
She gets those. She's off at the Master Gardener plant sale this weekend, but she'll be by after that. Now, if you would all, no other announcements?
You sure not.
Okay. If you all please join me in the unity statement. It's in your program. We're going to say it together.
We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of the light. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness with God.
Now it's time for a song of joy. If you'd all please stand on page 153. time for our reading. This morning, the reading will actually be given by Penny. That microphone work?
Let's see here.
Hello?
Yes, it does.
So, Cindy came, and I know she gave Deanne's books out to a lot of people, but she came to my house and brought me a handful of books, and one of them was Friends for Life. And I just love this book. And in this, I found a poem on friendship. It says, "Where there is friendship, there can be no loneliness. How sad can it be in the presence of a friend? Where there is friendship, there can be no poverty. How poor can we be when we have a friend to share our days? Where there is friendship, there can be no failure. How defeated can we be when we have a friend to encourage and comfort our hearts? Where there is friendship, there is hope for the future. How hopeless can we feel when we have a friend who stands by us and sees our true potential? Friendship is the gift of sunshine on a cloudy day, a helping hand that makes us laugh our cares away and brings us courage in the face of another day. Thank you for always being there for me. Thank you for being my friend." Susan B. Simmons.
Wonderful. Thank you, Penny. Well, thank you, all my friends. And now it's time for our meditation song. Would you please remain seated for the meditation song? Page 89.
Thankful for all the good I already experienced. I am grateful. prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time.
Okay, so this is the third Sunday of the month. It looks like we are scheduled to do the traditional Lord's Prayer. Find the Lord's Prayer located in the front of your hymnal. Please place it back in there when you're finished for the next person next week. And let's all say this together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Now it's time for our Alleluia, and that's on page 30, if you don't know the tune or the word. Grandfather Roy Wilson, who is going to talk to us a little bit about why we speak all these different languages. And I'm sure some of you have heard stories, but Grandfather's stories are a little different.
Klahalia.
Klahalia.
That's hello, greetings. Close tennis sun. That is good morning. Well, as you've been told, topic today is why are there so many different languages? The old Indian legend tells their version of this, features that animal that's most despised of all the other animals, the vagabond, the unlawful predator, coyote. And the legend dates back to the long ago time when God spoke to all the living creatures, living things, said, what would you like to be? And some of them spoke up and said, we would like to be able to fly in the air, to look down and see all the things up there, the logs in the trees and what things are happening down below. And so God said, okay, you will become birds. And I'll give you wings so you can fly. And you'll be big birds and little birds. And there will be birds of many variegated colors. And so from here on, you who wanted to be able to fly, you become birds. Well, some of the others, they said, we love swimming in the water. We'd love to be to live our whole lives in the water. And we'd like to have wings like the birds, so if they fly in the air, we can fly in the waters. The Creator said, okay, you'll become fish. For wings, I'll give you fins. And you'll spend the rest of your lives in the water. For there you'll be able to stay cool when it's hot, and you'll be comfortable in all. Well, some of the others, they said, we'd like to be able to live on the earth, to sleep in the forest, to enjoy the Earth Mother. Okay, and then you will become animals. And so he created many, many different kinds of animals. And finally, there were those who said, we want to be just like you, God. You're so intelligent, so loving, and so kind. So the lesson is, he said, okay, you'll be Indians. Yeah. Of course, you have to remember that at that point in time when that legend existed, they weren't aware that there were yellow people and black people and white people. They just figured everybody was Indian. So actually, they probably, if they didn't know where the other, they said, and God said, let there be human beings. But the legend is that God said, okay, you be Indians. Well, in those days, they all of those living things, who later became birds, fish, animals, and Indian, they all spoke the same language. And they had their big annual council every year, where they'd all gather together, all living things. They all talked the same language, and they would drum and sing and dance and talk to each other. But there was this one animal, he wouldn't go anymore to the council meetings. It was that despicable coyote. He wanted to be alone. And so he wasn't there at the meeting. Well, he fell asleep one day during that council meeting. He was all alone, and he, in his sleep, he was dreaming, I so despise having to eat dry grass and all these kinds of things. I wish I had something more tasty to eat. And so, in the end, it goes and says, and the evil one, he hit it. My goodness gracious, even an Indian spiritual, it had to be an evil one, oh my. And I guess in the Bible that would be Satan. He came to Coyote while he was asleep and he held a piece of meat right in front of his nose. And he spoke and he said, wake up and take a taste of this. Oh Coyote, when he tasted that, oh this is perfect, this is delicious, I like this. Well, the council ended and all the living things were heading back home and they didn't suspect Coyote was what he was. And so Cottontail started copping along and Coyote, what happened? You didn't come to the council this time. The coyotes pounced on that Cottontail and killed him and ate him. Jumped on two or three of the others, and the others scattered. The rabbit became the shy, timid animal that we know today. And then the birds, they came hopping along, following the council. Oh, Coyote, we missed you at the council meeting today. He pounced on them and killed some of those and ate them. Well, then after this started happening to so much, all the animals said, one of the problems is that he can hear us talking, he knows our language, and he knows our plans, and he knows just what we're going to be eating, what we're going to be doing, and he comes and crouches on us and kills us and eats us. We need to change our talk. And so the rabbits, they develop their own talk, their own language, and the birds of the different species. Although even the Indians, every tribe now spoke a different language. And when I'm hearing this old Indian legend, I cannot help but think of the Bible legend on why there are so many different languages, as about the story about the Tower of Babel, and how they built this great tower. The idea in mind, according to the Bible, is to climb to the top into the heavens and to be there with God. I might say that you may not be aware, but the foundation remnants of that tower are still in existence today. I used to have a large Bible Christian theological library. When I finally retired from pastoring, I gave that entire library of over 200 books to my oldest son who was pastoring. But one of those was a Bible atlas and showed an actual photograph of the Tower of Babel foundation, just the base of it that still exists today, about a half mile each way in a large square. But we need to change our talk, and so they all changed their talk. At this point in my talk today, I'm gonna turn off the grandfather storyteller button. I'm gonna turn off the button on the teacher. I want to turn on the preacher button. Oh, Well, I turn this on, I want to say, I know that there are many of you in this chapel this morning who, like me, can remember when we were young, we never, never, never heard anything about these massive shootings in schools, in restaurants, in theaters, in all kinds of different places. In fact, this individual shootings, it seems like this morning before I left to come here, I had was listening to the news on TV, and there was again investigation of another shooting. And I think over the last week or two, there hasn't been a single day that I haven't seen something on the news about another investigation of another shooting. They're going at it wrong. They're trying to find some way for gun control. They'll never succeed in that. I firmly believe that what has caused so much of this is video, TV. We know that in your memory, you will retain far higher percentage of what you see than what you hear. That's a proven fact.
Amen.
And consequently, educational institutions, colleges, universities, they've turned a whole lot to using video rather than a lecture anymore, because they can, you learn a whole lot more through getting it through video than you do in hearing a lecture. I believe that what has caused so much violence in our nation, in our world today, is that there is so much violence on TV. Our youngsters today, from the time that they're toddlers and they're sitting there in their mama's lap as an infant, and on through their primary days and on into their teenage youth years, and they spend many, many hours just watching TV. And there's all of this violence. And now these young men and women that are doing all this killing, this shooting, they grew up knowing no other culture than a culture of violence. They keep seeing violence, 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 violence. And we need to change our talk. Somewhere, and maybe that's today, right here in this sanctuary, it has to start somewhere where we make an appeal to the federal government to outlaw violence on TV. Oh, you might say, oh, now, wait a minute, hold on, Grandfather Roy. We have that freedom of speech, right, and we cannot stop that. How come federal government won't allow the TV to show open sex on TV? In fact, you and I will remember years ago, we used to see many commercials and ads advertising Camels, Lucky Strike, Marlboro, and many others. That was outlawed. If the federal government can outlaw tobacco being advertised, can outlaw sex being showed openly, they can outlaw violence. But we need to change our talk, or this next generation is coming up, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. But if we can outlaw violence on TV, I know I'm pushing the preacher button right now, but it has to start somewhere. It's going to start right here in this sanctuary today. If we can outlaw violence on TV, then the next generation is coming will never have that. For we learn to do by doing, we learn by what we see, and we have created a world of violence that many of us never witnessed when we were young, because we didn't have TV. I don't know if some of you remember the days, I'm sure some of you are old enough to remember. I was in college when TV first came out. Up until then, we had no TV. We learned by what we saw happening around us. That's how we learned how to live our lives. First, you start learning just by mom and dad. Then you start going to school and you start learning some new things that you never learned before. And life is a learning experience. We learn by what we see. And so I am today just taking the time to present this legend, why so many different languages, Well, there are a lot of other ways we can change our talk. And maybe some of it, not just from the TV, but the way we treat our family and friends. Maybe they do something really bad against you. And you get angry and you fight back. Well, here we go again. But the best way to win is by loving. Loving, 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 loving. As Jesus said, love, love your enemies. Love your enemy. How can I love that terrible, despicable person? He's a coyote in my life trying to kill me. And that is the real answer. But my challenge today is, somewhere, let us start a drive. If you in this congregation, along with me, began preaching, get rid of violence on TV, others will hear it from other churches, other Grange Halls, other places, and they'll start picking up on the message. Maybe eventually the snowball against violence on TV will grow so that it will be heard throughout the nation, and our political leaders back in Washington, D.C. can finally take action, as they finally did, on tobacco and other things. So that's my challenge today. Let's change our talk. Creator God, as we now go into our time of meditation, lead us and guide us in the way that we can move and change our time. As you go into the silence, dispelling everything that has been beyond your mind throughout this day, go into the quietness, sink into the nothingness, where there is nothing but where there is everything. Listen to the voice of Spirit speaking to you. Ask yourself, what can I do to proclaim the message of ending violence? Creator God, for leading us in this meditation. Now give us the courage and the strength to take action, that there might be peace and harmony and unity in our land. Coach, come on.
Thank you, Grandfather. Teacher's assistant that works with young children, I always try to get that through parents, when I work with parents, and I encounter parents who still hit their children, spank their children, that when we do that, what we're doing is teaching our children that as a last resort, you can use violence to solve your problems. And I grew up that way. You know, I learned to use violence to solve my problems, and did that for many years. It doesn't work very well at all. And for this idea of responding with love works so much. And now it's time for our offering. There are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Thank you. Joyce, thank you, Tom, Jerry. And thank you, everyone, for your offering. Now let's say the blessing of thanks together. It's also located in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Evidence right here, that today. Now it's time for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your arms.
Patty Kyle. Jack Safe.
My hand, Aggie in Minnesota.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen.
Amen.
And now it's time for our prayer of protection. Let's say the prayer of protection together. You'll find it located on the back of your program and also on the wall up here. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Now I'd like to thank everybody who made our Sunday service possible. Don't forget the coffee, refreshments, and fellowship downstairs. And yeah, if you would all like to form a little circle, we'll sing our peace song.